The Scoop. Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Ashley Marie, and you're tuned into The Scoop, your one stop for all things love, lifestyle, and relationships on MorrisMediaLive.com.
I said, welcome to the school. You know it's time to tune in. You gotta tell all your friends, girl, welcome to the school. You know it's time to tune in. You better tell all your friends, homie, welcome to the school. The time is now, tune in. You better buzz in your friends, y'all, welcome to the school. Gather round, tune in. Now let the show begin. Hey, look, it's time to tune in. If you not, then you faking it. The best topics, love, lifestyle, and relationships. The dopest host in the world, Ashley Marie, holding it down from 7:30 to the 9:00 PM. You better tell a friend every Wednesday night, cause you know she going in. They breaking the hottest artists in the game right now. No competition, so she in her own lane right now. You need the latest and the greatest, somebody that's gonna debate it. Well, we gotta know them like I know they hate it. So you can learn a lot if you choose to pay attention. We talk world news, sports, don't let me fail to mention how to get your money right so you can live a lovely life. Call in and get you some advice. It's not a game no more, we taking over the airwaves. More MorrisMediaLive.com to catch the replay. You know it's time to tune in. You gotta tell all your friends, girl, welcome to the school. You know it's time to tune in. You better tell all your friends, homie, welcome to the school. The time is now, tune in. You better buzz in your friends, y'all, welcome to the school. Gather round, tune in. Now let the show begin.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Sky. Okay. Hi, Steven. Can you hear me? He can't hear me.
Hello.
Hi, Steven. Can you hear me? Steven, can you hear me? Hello? Oh, he hung up. Okay, well, you know what his thing is now, right? Okay, are we on air? Oh, what's up, you guys? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to The Scoop. I'm your host, Ashley Marie. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a jam-packed show for you. As you know, we are your one stop for all things love, lifestyle, and relationships. And tonight, we are going to really delve into the relationship piece of The Scoop. As I promoted heavily on social media, we have a very special guest in studio tonight. Well, not in studio. Actually, he's going to join us via Skype. He's calling from the East Coast. We have relationship coach, life coach, author, Mr. Steven Labossiere. I hope I'm saying that correctly, but hopefully he'll be able to correct me when we get him connected on Skype. Other than that, we also have our Scoop News, which is always very juicy and exciting. We have some great legal tips from our attorney friend, Mr. Kellen Patterson. He'll be joining us via Skype as well, all the way from Sacramento, California. And of course, we can't end the show without some good insight and wisdom from our very own financial guru, Mr. Johanse Harrison. So again, we have a jam-packed show for you guys tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to call in and get your questions in for Steven, for Mr. Kellen Patterson, for Johanse Harrison, feel free to call in at 323-293-3375. And we'll definitely try to tie you in with them so you can get the scoop. Before we get started, before we get into all the juiciness, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with our author, love lifestyle coach, Mr. Steven Labossiere. But here's Janae Ayeko with Waze. All right. Welcome back to The Scoop, you guys. I'm your host, Ashley Marie. We are your one stop for all things love, lifestyle, and relationships. As I promised, we have joining us tonight, life coach, author, and relationship coach, Mr. Steven Labossiere. Hopefully, like I said earlier, I'm saying that correctly. I am so excited to have him on. This man is full of wisdom. Before we bring him on, I want you guys to check out this clip so you can get an idea of all the goodness he's about to share with us tonight. Check it out.
You will never be good enough for the wrong person, so you need to just walk away. You know, you get caught up in the situation where you have this relationship. You poured in a lot of time and energy, and you're trying to make it work. You want to see something great come out of this. Unfortunately, no matter how hard you try, nothing seems to be changing. Nothing seems to be improving. This person does not seem to appreciate all your efforts. And you get to a point where you start to question, is it me? Am I doing something wrong? Am I not good enough? Why can I not get this person to love me the way I want to be loved? Well, the answer is simple. You will never be good enough for the wrong person. At the end of the day, they're not for you. There's nothing you can do to change that. All you can make sure is that you put your best effort in the situation, that you expressed yourself in a loving and positive manner, and you made every effort to try to make things better. Once you can say, I did all that I could do, then at that point you have to accept it's time to go. Listen, it doesn't mean things can't work out later, but clearly they're not going to change as they are. Clearly this person is content and complacent and is unwilling to make any adjustments in this relationship. You can't force them to be different. You can't force them to do better. They have to make a choice, and now you have to make the choice to walk away, because at the end of the day, if they're not for you, they're not for you, and you will never be good enough for the wrong person.
Wow, that was powerful. Joining us here on The Scoop tonight is author of God, Where's My Boaz? And a few other projects as well. Life and relationship coach, Mr. Stephen Labossiere. He's also known as Stephen Speaks on social media. Stephen, welcome to The Scoop.
Thank you for having me on.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. And just so everybody knows, it's actually Stefan.
Oh, it's Stefan. Oh my gosh, that's even better. That makes it like official. Stefan is like the love doctor of all love doctors. For all of you guys that watched Family Matters growing up, you remember who Stefan was. All right, well, welcome to The Scoop, Stefan. Now, am I saying your last name correctly? Labossiere?
It's close. It's Labossiere.
Labossiere. Okay. Alrighty. Well, welcome to The Scoop. Thank you so much for joining us. You are making some waves in the relationship coaching sector of the world. You obviously have a ton of followers on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. You're really doing your thing. And like I said, we're so excited to have you. How did you get started in all of this? Like, what made you want to become a life coach, relationship coach, author? How did all of this birth into your life?
Honestly, I never saw this coming. Okay. I never in a million years thought I'd be doing any of this stuff. It was all God. It was all what God led me to. Just the process that I had to endure and in walking through what he was leading me through. All these little different things were being added. So, I never foresaw the speaking. It started with him just telling me to write a book.
Okay.
And then when I wrote the book, and mind you, I'm someone who hates writing. Like in college, I never wanted to write. I have a degree in IT. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't a writer or anything like that, but God was telling me to write this book, wrote the book. Then that turned into creating the blog. Then, I started pushing. I always had like an advising company.
Okay.
But I wasn't pushing it hard. So then I really started pushing the coaching hard and just adding piece by piece. But all of it was just what God led me through, to be honest with you.
Got it. Now, did you go through a tough relationship? Like, how did you gain all of this wisdom? Because you have like some wise quotes, extremely wise quotes. Your perspective is on point. Like, you know everything. So how did you get to that point? How are you the Google of relationships?
Well, you know what? It's a mixture of a lot of different things. I have been through interesting situations, so to speak.
Okay.
That I've learned a lot from. But, you know, I've always been allowed into people's lives, mm-hmm. even since I was, like, young. Like, that was the one thing I always noticed. People would tell me their lifelong story on the first day of meeting me.
Oh, my god!
They would tell me all kinds of deep, dark secrets about they were molested, this. I mean, just craziness. Like, I didn't understand why they were telling me. Uh-huh. Now I get it.
Now you get it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so because I'm allowed to see inside so many people's lives, mm-hmm. I learn so much. I mm-hmm. see the truth. Mm-hmm. You know? And also, I think that a lot of times, I'm not saying things that a lot of people don't know, but I'm willing to say it. And that's the problem. A lot of people, for example, you may see your friend, you know they're not happy, but your friend's trying to tell you that they're happy, they're good in this relationship, but you know they're not. But instead of trying to rock the boat, you won't say anything.
Right.
You figure, all right, they say they're good, they're good. I'm the person. No, if I see it, I'm going to call it out. And because of that, I pull out more truth. Mm. And that brings more wisdom. And from there, that's how I keep learning more and more.
Got it. So it's kind of just being mindful and paying attention to what people are going through around you. That are around you, what they're going through. That's awesome. So you just wrote a book called, well, you just published a book called God, Where Is My Boaz? Mm. I've heard wonderful things about the book. Tell us about God, Where Is My Boaz?
All right. So God, Where Is My Boaz is a woman's guide to understanding what's hindering her from receiving the love and relationship she deserves. And, you know, the whole idea or premise behind it was the simple fact that a lot of women in the church are simply being told pray and wait.
Okay.
And there's a mentality amongst a lot of them that says, you know, they latch on to the scripture, he who finds a wife, to validate basically sitting back and doing nothing. And if God has a man for me, he's going to come and find me. No, that's not how it works. Right. You know, that's not exactly. Right. I mean, to some degree, you have to understand there's a certain part you play in the process. Mm-hmm. So the book, though some people may look at it and assume it's about how to get a man, it's not about how to get a man. It's about really understanding what's hindering you, what you're overlooking, mm-hmm. What issues you need to address. It's kind of the first part, the foundation I had to lay, because there's more to come in that series. Mm-hmm. But that was like the initial thing that we had to get out the way. So we talk about healing. We talk about recognizing that you're not really doing what God wants you to do. You're doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, really just laying some groundwork, because from there, then we can take that next step and really get people the results they're looking for.
How do you know if you're doing what God wants you to do versus what you want to do?
Well, first and foremost, did you pray and ask God about it?
Okay.
You know, the reality is that a lot of people, and you know, I don't want to just say women, but it is, since we're talking about women with this book, mm-hmm. They can trust God with their finances, with work, with family, with everything. But when it's relationships, it's like hands off. And now they got to do it their way. And mm-hmm. the reality is that they're not asking about the men they're dating. They're not asking about how they're proceeding with this relationship. You know, they're trying to decipher the things on the surface rather than getting spiritual discernment or spiritual knowledge on what's really going on here. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that women are very intuitive, very smart. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're missing the red flags. You know, it's very rare that a woman truly gets blindsided in a relationship. She sees things coming, but she chooses to ignore it, you know? Mm. And part of that, of her ignoring it, is her doing things her way, her trying to find a reason to hold on because she wants to validate holding on. But that's not what God told you to do.
Wow. So it's your higher mind.
Pretty much. You know, really trusting your intuition. I think that's extremely important for women to do, is mm-hmm. to trust their intuition. It doesn't take a long time to figure out what you're dealing with. Women know very quickly when that man ain't nothing, mm. when he's not worth another date, another phone call, or whatever. However, again, they will rationalize and give themselves reasons to continue rather than accepting it's just not there.
It's not there, right. And speaking of which, maybe some women are afraid, or some people in general are afraid of being single, and they don't want to kind of go through that process, especially if you've invested a lot of time in the relationship. And that brings me to kind of like my next comment. You have a really good perspective, or you have some good things to say about the single life and how to live, how to embrace your single journey. And you just posted something actually like an hour ago. You said being single can be a great experience when you embrace it as an opportunity to heal and grow. So is that kind of what you're touching on in God Wears My Boaz too in the beginning?
Yeah, that definitely is part of the process. That definitely is included in the book. Mm-hmm. You definitely have to embrace the time that you're single. Not embrace in the sense of, oh, I'm happy to be single, I want to stay single.
Right.
But you have to embrace it as an opportunity to now focus more on you. Because the reality is that when you get into a relationship, you have to worry about the other person as well.
Right.
Bottom line. You know, you cannot grow. It's hard to grow at the same rate in a relationship as you would when you're single. Because you have so much more time to focus on just you.
Yourself. Yeah.
You know, so people would love to say, oh, we can grow together. Yes, you can grow together, but it's harder. It is harder because not only do you have to battle your own issues, but now you got to battle their issues too. And that's too much. And most people don't really make true progress in a relationship unless they're truly in the right one. But here's the reality. If you don't solve your issues before entering a relationship, you will more than likely enter into the wrong relationship.
Okay, so basically don't go into a relationship broken.
Absolutely.
How do you know? Like, sometimes you don't know that a part of yourself is broken until it's tampered with. So how do you kind of avoid that? Because you may go into the relationship thinking, like, I feel good about myself. I've got this going. My career is going great. My spiritual life is great. My emotional life is great. My finances are on track. How do you, like, how do you decipher, like, okay, I feel whole enough to go into a relationship? Like, how do you know it's the right time for you?
Well, the reality is that people do know when they're broken. It's just that we find ways to validate brokenness.
Okay.
It's like, have you ever heard the quote, you have to find someone who's who's willing to unpack your bags for you? Some nonsense like
that.
Okay.
I've heard like that.
One of the worst pieces of advice you could ever give.
Okay.
We make people believe that, oh, it's okay that you have your issues. Everyone has issues. Just go ahead and find a relationship. Find a person who accepts you and your flaws. That's the nonsense we pump into people's heads. So in reality, they know they have the issue. They know they're broken. She knows if she's afraid to be vulnerable to a man. She knows if there's still some trust issues due to her past relationships. No one's that blind to what's going on within them. But society, friends, family, we lead people to believe that it's okay to have these things and still move forward. Okay. And it's not. It's not okay.
Okay. And what does a healthy relationship look like? Paint that picture for me. How do you know you're in the right relationship? How do you know you're with the right partner? What does that look like?
Well, a healthy relationship looks like two people who can actually talk to each other, first and foremost. I mean, there are so many people in relationships right now that cannot talk to their partner, that cannot truly open up and be transparent with the person they're with. If you can't be transparent with that person, you are not with the right person, or you both don't belong in this relationship right now. You guys aren't ready to be together at the moment. Healthy is also being able to take a positive approach. Another false thing that we push to people that, oh, arguing is healthy. Arguing is a part of every relationship. Listen, disagreement is healthy. Disagreement will be a part of every relationship. Arguing in the sense of negative, back and forth, yelling, cursing, disrespect, that is not healthy.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Okay. So if you are engaging in negative behavior of any kind, then we are talking about an unhealthy relationship.
Got it.
So
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, so those are the main two things.
Okay.
You know, and just two people being actually happy, genuinely happy, not faking happy, genuinely happy. Again, there are a lot of people who are just dragging along in their relationship, claiming they're okay, but they're not. And you can see it in their face.
Right. Because it affects usually when your relationship is not going well. Obviously, it's affecting your emotional life, and that spills into other areas of life as well.
Absolutely.
It spills into your work. It spills into your finances at some point. You know, it spills into your other relationships going on in your life. So, yeah, that's I completely agree with you on that. That's definitely something you want to get keep in check. And I wanted to get into your next project. Well, another project that you have. It's an ebook. It's called The 7 Things You Need to Know About the Man That God Has for You. Mm-hmm. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, it was just a quick little ebook I put together to kind of address some of the things I felt women need to be aware of when trusting, you know, God as far as, you know, the man God has for you. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times a lot of negative things are overlooked or a lot of bad perceptions are pushed. For example, you have some people who will try to convince women, don't worry about how the man looks. Well, and not in just how he looks, but in the sense of attraction's not a big deal. Oh, he's a good guy. He's a nice guy. Give him a chance. Who can? Maybe he can grow on you. That's garbage. No, attraction is very important.
Okay.
And if you look at relationships where the one or the other ignored attraction, they are not happy. They are not happy, and it causes, it leaves the door open to other issues arising in that relationship.
Like cheating?
Like cheating, yes. Okay. Definitely like cheating. And just, you know, when you, here's the reality, this is going to sound bad, but when you are not attracted to someone, you give them a shorter leash. And what I mean by that is you have a shorter fuse. Like they're gonna annoy you quicker than the person you're attracted to.
Oh my gosh! Like you know what, like, you get on my nerves and you're ugly.
No, exactly. It's true. It sounds bad, but when you think about it, whenever you're dealing with someone who's not attractive, you're not gonna give them much leeway.
Yeah.
It's gonna be quicker to make you mad or annoy you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so it seems silly, but it really has a huge impact on the relationship. You know, you have to desire your person mentally, spiritually, physically. All these things have to be in place. And when you remove one of them, it can bring the whole thing down.
So those are obviously three key things that we want to look for in a man. What are some things that men can look for, like the men that are listening, that can look for in a woman? Like, what do you tell them to keep an eye out for?
Well, you know, I'm planning on writing the 7 things you should know about the woman God has for you.
Okay.
And one of the main things I'm going to talk about is a man has to look for the woman who truly connects with his dreams.
Ooh.
That connects with his purpose. Because there's a lot of men right now who are waking up next to a dream killer, next to a woman who does not have his back. To a woman who does not believe in him. Now, granted, some of these men are not giving the woman enough to believe in. However, you still got to recognize that you chose the wrong person here.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, and no matter what else is in place, I have sat down and coached so many couples, so many married couples, and I could get everything on track, have all kinds of behaviors corrected, and still have a problem because that man feels like that woman does not support him.
Now, when you say connects with your dream, does that, okay, so obviously that includes the woman supporting the man in his dream, encouraging him. Does that mean finding someone that's kind of in alignment with what you do? So
yeah,
someone that can support you in practical ways too, that maybe has some skills that can help grow your business or grow your dream, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. Does that include that as well?
I think that's the ideal. I think that would be great if that can be achieved. I'm not going to rule out that as long as there's support emotionally and verbally, you know, and positive energy from that woman, that even if she can't provide other practical things to the situation, that she can still be the right woman for him. But yeah, it would be ideal that she can do that. But I think more importantly, it's just that she has to really believe in him. If a woman does not believe in a man, trust me, she's not going to respect him in the long run.
Yeah.
And that whole relationship is going to fall apart.
Yeah,
plain and simple. So, you know, and the thing is, even if you know, your dream is ridiculous. And mm-hmm. I say that to portray what her perception may be. Mm-hmm. Not saying it actually is ridiculous, but some women may look at your dream as ridiculous. Mm-hmm. What better for you to know that, recognize that, and see it's just not time. Now, listen, could later on, maybe it's just a matter of you getting some things together and showing her that you're serious,
yeah.
showing her that you're actually about your business, that could change her perception and allow her to feel more comfortable supporting you. Cool, but do not enter into the relationship until that is in place.
Mm. So wait for it.
Wait, absolutely.
Hashtag wait for it. Now, okay, so as okay, so now we've been talking a lot about relationships. Let's talk about the dating process. So the courting process. On your blog, you have some really some great tips about communication and dating and what to do, what not to do. A couple, like one of them was talking about work too much. That was a no-no during the first date. Like, do not talk about work a lot. Maybe touch on it a little bit, but your suggestion is don't talk about it.
I mean, you can talk, like you said, you can talk about it, but when you start to just ramble on and on about mm-hmm. work, mm-hmm. That can be a big turnoff.
Okay.
And that can be a problem. And, you know, I've even experienced that myself, going on a date with somebody and them just, it was work. It's like, okay, you know what? let's just move on from here. Let's right. just forget about it because this isn't going to work. So definitely be mindful of that. You know, your goal on a date, especially on the first date, is to get to know each other, not mm-hmm. just from a work aspect, but from various aspects. So you right. really want to make sure you're covering some ground. You're asking questions as well as answering questions. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a conversation that can really give you a feel for the person. When we're just talking about work, that's just not enough. Mm-hmm. And that can sidetrack the conversation.
That's very true. And also, you brought up a really interesting point in your blog post about not talking down to your date. Do people do that?
Absolutely.
I don't think I've ever been on a date where I was talked down to. How does that, like, what does that look like? If you're on a date and you're being talked down to, what does that look like? And how do you get out of that situation?
I mean, you know, it varies. You know, some people can be very arrogant mm-hmm. And condescending. Mm-hmm. And also because some people are entering into the date with walls up.
Okay.
They don't even realize how they're coming off mm-hmm. and the negative energy they're putting out there. So they may not see it as I'm talking down to this individual. But mm-hmm. from the outside looking in, if I examine the situation, it'd be like, yeah, you are. Mm-hmm. It's clear as day. So you just want to make sure you're coming in with a positive mindset. If you have a positive mindset going on the date, then mm-hmm. you won't find yourself giving off this negative energy and putting yourself in a position where you're talking down to someone. If you're the person who is being talked down to, mm-hmm. or you feel in any way disrespected or disturbed by the way the person is communicating with you, you just need to be honest about it mm-hmm. and let them know.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was saying, and just correct it right there. And let me say this. I feel like I have to say this right now, especially if you're a man and the woman's talking down to you. Ooh. And I know that I don't want that to sound sexist, so I'm only saying that, you know, a man should be checking with me.
I think I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And here's the other thing that I'm going to be mentioning in that book is that, listen, as a man, you have to show that you demand respect.
Exactly.
And if you allow a woman to disrespect you, to run all over you, mm-hmm. she might continue to deal with you. But if she doesn't respect you, she's not going to love you. Mm-hmm. All right. And it's not going to be a relationship that you're going to be happy about. You know, and in actuality, you putting your foot down and not putting your foot down in a verbally abusive way or being disrespectful or anything like that, just showing that you're not going to tolerate any kind of disrespect. That you're actually going to win points.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose. You yeah. know, it's better for you.
Yeah.
So I think the men have to really be mindful of that, because I think some men let women get away with a lot because yeah. they're thinking, okay, you know, I got to be sweet and nice. And now forget all that. You got to be sweet and nice, but you still got to be man enough to put your foot down and show you're not going to be taking anybody's nonsense.
Yeah. And especially if you're dealing with a woman with a strong personality, an alpha female, so to speak. Mm-hmm. As a man, you definitely want to make sure you stand your ground and kind of put your foot down a little bit. That makes women who are, you know, stronger personality types definitely respect you. Like, okay, He's exactly. standing his ground, and he checked me respectfully. So I definitely exactly. agree with that. Now, are there any other projects that you have going on right now as far as books? And I know you have like a you have a cruise that you're kind of promoting right now.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us more about that?
So I got a cruise. It's a cruise to the Bahamas, October 7th through the 10th.
Uh-huh.
It's called Stefan Speaks at Sea. We're going to be doing a lot of wonderful things on there. All inclusive cruise.
Okay.
It's just a lot of great things. It's so much to list. I mean, if anyone is interested in going on the cruise, just send me an email, contact@stefanspeaks.com.
Okay.
And we can get you all set up with that and get you more of the details.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I have a few projects. I have How to Get a Man to Cherish You If You're His Wife coming up next. Yeah, I actually literally just before I came on the interview, I actually uploaded the pre-order onto Amazon.
Oh, so exciting.
That's coming. And also, I'm going to be doing kind of my crossover book. And this one is called God's Plan for Your Purpose.
So that's and more that's, on the life coaching side. Sounds
yeah,
like
life coaching and business side. That's taking it to that level with that one.
That sounds awesome. You just piqued a question in my mind about how to give me the title of that book again. How to Get Your Man to Cherish You, or what?
How to Get Your Man to Cherish You. How to Get a Man to Cherish You If You're His Wife.
If you're his wife. What is the difference between a man cherishing you and loving you?
To me, when I think cherish, I'm thinking at a whole other level. Like it's even as much as love should be the ultimate. When a person cherishes you, it's just it's hard to put into words, but it's just you're like something precious to them. And when you're something precious to them, they do everything to protect it, to provide for it, to love it, to nurture it. They will give it everything it needs because they cherish you. They hold you in high regard. You know, and to me, that's even more than love is like love goes into cherishing.
Okay.
I can love you and not cherish you. You understand? Like, I can love anybody. I love everybody in the world.
Right.
Do I cherish everybody? No.
Right. You can't. Yeah.
Exactly. But when that man cherishes you, that you are set apart.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So can you give us a little bit of a teaser on how to do that? Just a little bit? Can we get bit of an exclusive here on The Scoop?
I'm going to give a teaser, and I'm probably giving the wrong teaser because this might make some people mad. But I'm going to be honest, and it's the one that's coming to mind right now. Okay. One of the things I mentioned in the book is about keeping up your physical appearance.
Okay, yeah.
And it's a touchy subject. You know, a lot of people want to say, oh, you know, we get older, kids, life, all these things get thrown at you. Okay, cool. And yes, you know, they'll say, you know, if you love me, it shouldn't be all about the physical appearance. Absolutely. However, physical appearance, physical attraction is an important part of any romantic relationship. If you remove physical attraction, you know what you have? You have friends, roommates, play cousins, whatever. You know, it's like it's no longer a romantic relationship. When you talk to people who have great connections with individuals and you say, why aren't you with that person? You know what they say? Because I'm not attracted to them. So now when we get married, and the reason why we were drawn to each other initially was attraction. And now we remove that.
Right.
There's going to be a problem. And with men, yes, men are very visual. And unfortunately, there are a lot of women who are not tapping into the physical attraction piece to light the fire back in their marriage. You know, and it's important. It's something that doesn't get talked about enough because people have been shamed when they bring it up. You know, people get bullied into leaving that topic alone. Men are scared to tell their wives, yo, you know, you're not looking the way you used to look, you know, and some may tell them, but then their tact is horrible. So it only causes more problems. it's just like this is this very unspoken issue. And when it is spoken, it isn't spoken about correctly, you know, but it needs to be addressed because it plays such a huge role in things.
Okay, awesome. How can people, A, find your books and maybe sign up for like your relationship coaching, your life coaching? How do we get in contact with Stefan?
Well, you can get in contact with me. You can find me on Twitter at Stefan Speaks, Instagram at Stefan Speaks, or at my website, www.stefanspeaks.com. That's where you'll also find my books, articles, and any other information. From there, you can always contact me as well if you want to set up a coaching session and anything else that you need.
Awesome. So they can find your books there too and Absolutely. Purchase them there. Awesome.
And they can go on Amazon or iBooks. They're everywhere.
Okay, so they are. We can download them on our iPads and all that good
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Stefan. I really appreciate you joining us on The Scoop.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. All the way from Atlanta, too.
Yes.
All right. Well, you have a good night. And when you come to L.A., you have to stop by the studio and hang out with me.
No problem. I'm trying to do an event there. So hopefully that's
Oh, yeah. I'm there. I'm in there. Let me know.
All right, cool.
All right, you have a good night.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. That was Mr. Stefan Labossiere, relationship coach, life coach, author of God, Where's My Boaz? And many other projects. We're so honored that he stopped by The Scoop tonight to hang out with us. And hopefully we got some, I know I got some good information from that. Hopefully you guys got some really good information from Mr. Labossiere. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with our legal advice, our financial guru, Yohante Harrison, and none other than Scoop News. It's going to get juicy. Here is Jeremiah with We. All right. Welcome back to The Scoop, you guys. Your one stop for all things love, lifestyle, and relationships. I'm your host, Ashley Marie. And that was Jeremiah with We. We are going to get right into our very own financial guru, Mr. Yohante Harrison. Yo, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Can
Hi,
you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey.
Happy Wednesday.
Well, thank you. Happy Wednesday to you.
What good information do you have to share with us tonight about our finances?
Man, I love that track, We, by Jeremiah.
Oh, you like that song?
Man, I cannot get enough of that song.
Yeah, I love it too.
And I think it's because he did that Jodeci loop at the end that just...
I didn't
was
catch
it,
that.
Not Jodeci, no, Shy loop.
Oh, yeah.
Doo, yeah. Da-da-do, da-da. I was like, oh, he did it. Oh, well, good evening, world. Hope everybody's doing great out
did
there.
Did you get some good relationship tips from Stefan?
I did. And actually, it's amazing that I did not even read to hear what you were talking about before we got on the show. And mm-hmm. I had already prepped for relationships and money.
Ah, it was destined.
It was destined. I was like, oh, my goodness.
So bizarre.
So yeah, I'm here to talk about relationships and money. It is the one of the top reasons why relationships don't work out. So I'm going to talk to some tips that you can – so how you can spot where you might have what they call financial infidelity going on in your
Ooh,
relationship.
Okay.
But before I get into that, I have to share with everyone who I am, where you can find me, okay. and all that good stuff because last week – I almost forgot to do that. It's Yohante Harrison. You can find me on my website, luminous8.com. You can also find me on Twitter, on Instagram, Yohante Harrison or Yo Harrison. Still waiting for that guy to give up the name on one of those so that I can be the same on both. But until then, we continue to march on. You can also email me, Yohance, at Luminous8.com with any questions that you have. So with that, let's get into relationships and money and relationships. Because we have the first relationship is the relationship that you have with money. The second relationship is the relationship money has with you and the other relationships that you have. And we all have, I've been saying this for a long time, but we all have what's known as a money script or a money story, whichever phrase you want to use, of of your relationship with money. And if you were to think back, if you would take the time and just think back, okay, when is the first time I actually knew what money was? And if you can think back to that time, that was the beginning of your relationship with money.
Okay.
And for a lot of us, we may have dealt with the relationship that our parents were having with money, and it created our own relationship. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, you know, the negative language of we can't afford that. Money's the root of all evil, things that sometimes we heard those things as a child, and that began our relationship with money. Your relationship with money is then solidified when you earn your first dollar. So then you're really creating your relationship with money. But let's talk about how those that relationship that you have, how it can affect the relationship that you're having with a significant other, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend. Let's say you're just in the dating stage. And you're getting to know the other individual. Mm-hmm. According to a poll by creditcards.com, 92% of Americans say that they never hide details of their financial lives from a significant other. 92%. But that means that you still got about 8% of Americans that do. So that means there's over 6 million people that are still hiding something. So here are some of the things that they usually don't always tell. And this is male and female. It was across the board. It's pretty much the same. A credit card account. 67% of people are hiding that. 45% of people are hiding a secret savings account. 38% of people are hiding a hidden checking account or just some other financial secret. Now, whether your significant other is hiding how much they make, how much they owe, or maybe you caught them, you know, borrowing money from a friend or what have you, it can lead to question why, and it can also lead to question what else is that person concealing. And so what I want to really share with you are some action steps that you can take so you can start to break down that mold that you may have of a poor relationship, money being a poor relationship with you and your relationship. Okay? So the first thing you want to do as an individual is tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay?
Okay.
It's going to come out eventually. I joke because it was very late in Alicia and I's relationship when I realized how much student loan debt she actually had. She claimed she told me, but somehow I don't think I was listening. And when it finally came out, I was like, whoa, what is that? Now, yeah. I didn't feel any different towards her, what have you. However, what I did realize is that it was something that was weighing very heavily on her. So it wasn't something she was even comfortable talking about. So it's very likely that we didn't talk about it often.
Right.
Okay. So tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And if this person really loves you, wants to be with you, spend the rest of their life with you, then these are some of the conversations that eventually you get to have. And if someone has a problem, you'd rather know early rather than later because you can decide whether or not you're going to be a part of that solution.
Right.
So the next step, dig deeper and find out what it's really about. You know, if we're talking about some credit card debt, if we're talking about maybe old medical debts, I got a good friend, was dating a beautiful woman. They were, you know, they had a great relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, we actually traveled all over the United States with this other couple, but it turned out that she had hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical debt that she hadn't told him about. And when it came up, she was very defensive about it, and he got very frustrated because he said, wait, we've been traveling, we've been going all these places, spending all this money, why weren't we paying your medical debt? And that was the end of the relationship because he, the way he saw it is, what else are you not telling me? And I mean, to have hundreds of thousands, that's a lot. But anywho, find out what, dig deeper, find out what the source is of whatever the issue may be, okay? And again, go back to number one, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Number two, work as a team. And in working as a team, it's not always just about you and your significant other. You may want to bring a professional in, whether it's someone like myself that's a financial advisor. Maybe it's an attorney. Maybe it's your CPA. Maybe it's your maybe it's a therapist or psychologist. Bring someone else in that can work as a team to help you work through whatever issue that person may have. Maybe they have a habitual spending problem. Maybe they can't remember to pay their bills on time. Or, you know, maybe they are, maybe, here's another one, maybe she thinks that the amount of money she earns is more than him, so she doesn't want to make him feel bad. Okay? And I've run into that. I've dealt with that. I work with physicians, and I've seen the dynamic between the physician and the husband or fiance, whoever, soon to be, and they are just a nurse. I mean, we're talking $500,000 a year compared to $80,000 a year.
Right.
But there's an interesting dynamic that happens there, and there's been a lot of emotional conversations we've had to have, just so, because sometimes the man can feel less of the man when they're not the provider. It happens. But women can feel that way as well, I found, where they feel like they're not bringing enough to the table financially. But if you can work together as a team, you can work through a lot of those issues and come up with solutions for it. Number four, and probably one of the most important, communicate. You know, if you didn't get the raise you thought you were going to get, communicate. You don't have enough to pay for your bills or whatever it is, communicate. You want to be able to take a trip or what have you, and you don't think you guys are going to be saving enough money to do it, communicate. The more you talk about it and not keep it bottled up, the less it will be a problem later on in the future. And then finally is just stay on track. Mm-hmm. I said this last week when we were talking about credit. If it's important, you'll track it. If it's not important, well, it's not important, so we don't have to talk about it. So if having a healthy relationship when it comes to money inside your relationships, communicating often about those things and having what Alicia and I, we like to call, we have a money date. We like to sit down and have a money date at least once a month where we talk about all of the finances. We look at all the debt that we have, mm-hmm. or student loan. We look at, you know, expenses that are coming up. We look at, you know, big trips that you want to take and savings. We also, every once in a while, we'll look at things like retirement or saving for our home. We sit down and, you know, it usually is over a couple of glasses of wine, you know, kind of loosen the mood a little bit.
Right.
And we go through it all and then we put it away. But I've found that in my years of being an advisor, I will find that most couples will spend more time planning their vacation, which may be 2 weeks out of the year, if that. Then they spend planning their retirement, which is typically 30 to 40 years out of their entire life.
Jeez.
It's a very long vacation. And they'll spend more time on that vacation than they will planning 30 or 40 years of their life. So, you know, I'm out here in this world trying to flip that, change it around, because I know that if you plan properly for those 30 years, you'll never have to, you know, if you plan, do it right now in these 30 years while you're working, you can vacation the rest of your life.
Okay.
So,
I think I think we have a call. We have somebody calling in with a question.
Okay.
Caller, you're on. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Kellen Patterson. I do have a question, but I know I'm on next. But
yeah.
I do have a question to Mr. Harrison.
Okay.
All right, my question is, what do you do when you're planning on getting married? Is there something to talk about with your soon-to-be spouse as it pertains to debt, how you file taxes even? Is that something that's of great importance to maintaining a relationship as well?
That's a great question. So basically, what does that conversation look like, yo?
So I actually couldn't hear the question, so I need you to repeat it.
Okay, so he wants to know when you're dating, when you're courting somebody, or when you're about to get married, he says specifically, what kind of conversation do you have with your partner about finances and how they file their taxes, maybe? Things of that nature.
Absolutely. So I have, when I'm meeting with clients that are about to get married, or engage, or even moving in together, I like to have what's called full disclosure.
Okay.
So, what I ask each individual to do, I say, put together all of your finances. So, your latest tax return, your latest paycheck stub, anybody that you owe money to, and any institution that has your money, and then also jot down what your top five financial goals are. And you do this independently. I say do this all by yourself. Write down your top five financial goals. And then I like to bring them together, and we start with the goals first. And that's usually the most eye-opening, because what I'll find is that number one goal for a husband is we want to buy a house. And number one goal for a wife is I want a new car. Okay, so already we're starting off with two different goals in mind as far as what's most important. And for the household to make it together long term, you're going to have to get on the same page on some of those goals, or else it's going to cause a fight later. So maybe, oh, well, you're going to come home with a new car. Wait, I thought we were saving for a house. And now the battle has begun. So we start by getting your goals on the same page. And that means with relationships, which you guys already talked about, there's some give and take. There's some, you know, some things where you're going to have to say, all right, this car can wait, or she's going to get to say, no, you need a car. The house will wait. So get on the same page as far as what your goals are would be step number one. Step number two is back to what we talked about earlier is tell the truth, the whole truth. So now let's disclose where we stand right now financially. So understanding what each other's, who you owe, where your money is. Also have the conversation of, are we going to do the joint account thing, or do we want to keep our finances separate? Depending on what state you're in, there's community property laws and all that stuff we won't get into right now, but that's also something just to be aware of, because especially if one partner maybe inherited some money from a grandmother or grandfather or something like that, those are other things that you'll want to talk about, because you want to make sure you keep those assets separate if they need to be kept separate. And then the next step, so once we've done goals, we've looked at where we are, understand where we are right now. I like to call it, it's the Google mapping. When you go somewhere inside your Google map or whatever, you put in, you know, where you want to go, and the next thing it needs to figure out is where are you right now. So we got to figure out where you want to go. So that's your goals. Figure out where you are right now, and that's establishing, you know, your current situation. And then the next step is to work on the expenses. I rarely have two individuals that are coming together and they make the exact same amount of money. It happened once that I can think of in the past like 10 years.
Okay.
just happened to be two students. They both went to veterinary school, both became vets, both got a job at the same veterinary hospital.
Oh my gosh.
They're making the same amount of money.
That's just creepy.
It is. However, usually there's one person that's making X and the other person's making Y. But you have bills, which are Z. So you got to come up with, okay, now we're doing this together. You know, how, you know, now that, you know, one apartment's going away, we're moving into this one house, whatever it is. You got to figure out what those expenses are so that everyone knows what's expected of them. Because I'll find sometimes where I'll have a husband or wife or fiance or what have you that, you know, maybe they only earn $50,000. And then the other person earns $100, and their household expenses are $100. So think about that. The household expenses are $100, but combined they earn $150. But if you're the person that earns $50,000, you may think one or two things. One, you don't need my money for expenses because we can use all of yours. So then that person winds up spending frivolously because they think that their money is not needed in the household. Or the flip of that, they think that all of their money is taken up for all of the expenses and they have nothing. Meanwhile, they sit in there salty looking at the partner because the partner's bank account is just flush with cash. Get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you got to come up with that happy medium of, okay, these are the bills that have to be paid. How are we contributing to our expenses? And then how are we going to save for our goals, pay down whatever debt that we have, and plan out the rest of our life? So I would highly recommend to the gentleman, did he have, what was his name?
Kellen Patterson. Kellen.
Kellen. I would highly recommend Kellen to schedule a money date with your significant other. Run through those steps. Shoot me an email. I can send them to you. I'm happy to be the mediator for you when you're doing those steps. But that would be the best advice that I can give you in that situation.
All right. I don't think he's on the line anymore.
What?
But that's okay. I'm sure he heard. Okay, so now you wanted to give one last tip, right, yo?
The one last tip, very simply, is ask for help.
Okay.
money. We don't like talking about money in our society. We'll talk about everything before we talk about money. Mm-hmm. If you watch daytime television, they'll talk about everything except money. We are very, we get very uncomfortable when it comes to talk about, but we actually even created an entire culture. This is just, this is American culture. This isn't culture in another country. The American culture where you're not supposed to tell your coworkers how much you make. Now, I want everyone to understand, and Ashley, as a woman, I hope you knew this already. If you didn't, here it comes. That started because of sexism. Because we didn't want, and I'm saying we, I'm not in the in that clan, but I'm saying we as men, we didn't want the women counterparts to know how much the men that were in the same position, how much more they were making than them. So that's why it became this unspoken rule, if you don't talk about how much you make at work.
Okay.
So, again, because we're uncomfortable talking about our money, we all need to get more comfortable talking about money and finding someone that we can trust to have these conversations. Because if you were to go down to the courthouse and look at how many of the divorces were filed, where somewhere in the reason to why they're getting divorced, besides irreconcilable differences, money is the number one irreconcilable difference.
Yeah, and I've heard that before, that that's like the number one reason for divorce.
Number one. And money is what leads to the infidelity. It lead, because you're it, when you're hiding something, it's that it's the lie, that's the snowball effect on the lie. And so it leads often to infidelity. It leads to distrust and more dishonesty and all the other things that can break two people up. So if we can start with being honest with ourselves and then being honest with our partner, then we can all enjoy the fruits of our labor that much more.
Sounds good. Thank you, Yael. You always have some good information for us.
I'm just excited it was about relationships. He was talking about relationships.
I know. That's so bizarre. Well, I'm glad that that worked out for us. All right. Well, again, thank you to Mr. Johannes Harrison, our very own financial guru here on The Scoop. He's always full of wisdom. You guys can follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter, Yo?
Yo underscore Harrison.
All right. DM him on Twitter. Email him at
Johanse at luminous8.com.
All right, Johannes. All right. Well, until next week, we will chat with you then. Thanks again for calling in.
You're welcome. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
All right, you guys, you are tuned into The Scoop. I'm your host, Ashley Marie. That was Mr. Johannes Harrison, our very own financial guru. He always drops so much knowledge on us as it relates to our finances. I've gotten so much good information from him. So he's definitely a gem to have on here on The Scoop. Next up, we're going to be chatting with attorney Kellen Patterson. He actually just called in and he had his financial questions to ask our financial guru. But Kellen Patterson's actually going to be giving us some legal tips and some legal advice. So we're really excited about having him on. Is he on the line now, Sky? Okay, so he's ready to rock and roll. We're going to go right into attorney at law, Kellen Patterson. Hey there, Kellen.
Hey, Ashley, how you doing?
Good. Welcome back to The Scoop. It's always such an honor to have you on.
It's a pleasure. The pleasure is mine.
What legal tips do you have to share with us tonight?
I don't have legal tips.
Okay.
I just have a couple of knowledge, something to educate your viewers.
Okay, great.
So,
what are they?
Well, the topic is employment law and rights as an employee in the state of California. So this may not keep you in a relationship, but it can help you get into a relationship you know your rights and you keep a job. So.
Okay.
But I just like to start off. So there are a couple ways for you to... a couple ways for you to make sure that your rights are protected as an employee in California. So there's statutory rights and there are common law rights. So statutory rights are the rights that, you know, you see in acts. So one of the most popular statutory
employment law is found in the Fair Employment and Housing Discrimination Act, also known as FEHA. Mm-hmm. Probably heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so FEHA prohibits harassment and discrimination in employment because of your race, color, religion, sex, gender identity, expression, your sexual orientation, so on and so on. And so it's very broad. The scope of the protection is very broad compared to your federal rights, which is found in Title VII, which doesn't necessarily protect as many classes of people. So in California, we do a really, really good job of making sure the most marginalized groups in our community are protected as it pertains to not being discriminated against in their employment.
Okay.
So one thing that you have to ask yourself dealing with employment law and employment discrimination is to see if you're considered an employee underneath the FEHA Act. So employees are protected if they are employees. So it's kind of weird how I just said that, but just stick with me.
Okay.
Because everyone is not necessarily employee. One thing that the Act does is that an employee is only employee whose employer has employed more than five people, or five people and more.
Okay.
So if you work at a small business or something to that nature, you know, even maybe a family-owned business, you work there and it has less than five people, then you're not protected by the Fair Employment Housing Act. So you can't really say that you've been discriminated against because of your race or ethnicity or your sexual identity based off the FEHA Act. You have to essentially show something else other than that you were a part of this class and that you were discriminated against because of your class affiliation. So that's one thing that you have to, you know, consider as an employee. How many people work with me? So if you work at, you know, Liberty Mutual, you know, or something like that, they have way more than five employees, so you're definitely protected. Another issue that can be concerning is people who are in the gray area. So you have employees, and then you have independent contractors. But then you have a lot of people who are in the middle. Sometimes they can consider themselves as independent contractors because the person who's paying their paycheck doesn't necessarily have all that control over how they do their work, when to be at work, and how, if they're paying employment taxes and things like that. So if the employee is just paying your check and you have to take care of all of your taxes yourself, then, you know, it puts you in a gray area.
Okay.
And so if you are more leaning towards the spectrum of you control everything about your work, you know, when you arrive, how your work is done, who you answer to is yourself, and then, you know, the person who's paying you is just, you know, you're doing the work for them, then you're going to be mostly you're going to be considered an independent contractor. So, but if you have to show up because your employer tells you when to show up, tells you how to do the work, they provide all the materials for you to do the work, then you will be considered likely be considered an employee.
Okay.
So one major thing about discrimination that a lot of people don't know, it's not even that they forget about it, they just don't know, is that the statutes of limitations of when to bring a claim underneath the FEHA Act is 6 months. Mm-hmm. So normally people think it's a year. You know, if you've been discriminated against, you can kind of sit on your hands and try to figure things out for a year, maybe look for a job. But when you're filing a FEHA claim, or even a Title VII claim, you really have to be on your toes and report it to the appropriate organizations, or you can also hire an attorney, and they will do that for you. And so you have to get a right to sue letter. And once you get a right to sue letter, you have about 90 days.
Okay.
So, you know, if you do have an issue with discrimination, so if your employer has discriminated you based on your sex, you know, if you're a woman and you feel like you were fired or not given promotion because of your sex, and you see, you know, men getting these promotions and you do better work for them, you, from that day on, you, once you notice that, you know, you've been discriminated against, you have 6 months from that time period to bring a claim. So that is very, very important, because a lot of people miss that statute of limitations, and then their claim is underneath the FEI Act is lost for good.
Okay.
Another important law that employees of California have to be concerned about, or at least privy of, is the California Fair Labor Standards Act. And essentially that addresses, you know, child labor, minimum wage, overtime pay, and meal and break periods. And so, you know, I guess state workers get it bad, right? So if you're a state worker, they're known for taking all the meal and break periods. But it's very important. I know. It's very important because sometimes employees are overworked, you know, especially if you're standing up on your feet to do your job. You can, you know, there's negative implications of doing that type of work for a very, very long time. And so, you know, you do have a right, you know, if you're working an 8-hour shift, you know, you do have a right to have 2 paid break periods of 15 minutes. Most people combine them with their lunch period, which is unpaid, 30 minutes, and combine it for an hour. But every, you know, if you're working an 8-hour shift, after 2.5 hours of work, you have a right to go on a 15-minute break.
Okay.
And your supervisor or your manager can't say no. So, you know, even if you, you know, I guess it's your election, you know, a lot of companies and even, you know, state organizations and other, you know, organizations are pretty lenient about, you know, when you can take your breaks and your lunch and combine them together. But, you know, if it really comes down to you really need to take a break after 2.5 to 3 hours of work, then you do have a right to a 15-minute paid break. So that is definitely something. So minimum wage is on the rise, which is a good thing in California because it's unbearable to live here, you know, making the money that certain people make.
Right.
You just can't do it. So if you're, you know, boss, employer, or whatever is paying you beneath that minimum wage, and there's a lot of different minimum wages. There's minimum wages opposed by city and county ordinances, and there's the state one, and then the federal. So, but we're dealing with California. I believe, I'm so bad with numbers. I think it's $9.75 right now. I could be wrong with that. But if you're paid beneath that in the state of California by any employer, your rights have been violated. So
okay.
Make sure that you're getting paid. And if you're not getting paid, tell someone, either, you know, tell the federal, what are they called? The EEOC, or you can hit up FEHA and they will be able to help you and assist you. Albeit it'll take a while, but they will be able to assist you. So
how long does that process typically take, Kellen?
The process, well, there's actually a lot of claims. And so, Fair Employment and Housing, it could take them quite a while, you know, even up to a year to fully investigate your claims that you make. But if they do investigate, they have all the power to make sure you get paid, potentially sue on your behalf. Or they can give you the opportunity to reach out to an attorney, and if you want to be represented by, you know, your attorney of choice instead of a state organization or a state department, then they'll allow you to have a right to sue, and you can take that route. So it depends, but it can take up to 9 months to a year to have an answer back as it pertains to their investigation.
All right.
The Department of Fair Employment and Housing.
All right. Well, this is some good information, Kellen. Thank you so much. Where can people contact you if they have any legal questions?
If you have any questions, you can stop by my website at www.kellenpatterson.com, or you can email me directly. I do have, patterson.com. You can also reach me on Instagram, and it's very simple. It's all at Kellen Patterson. And then Twitter is the same thing, Kellen.Patterson on Twitter, I believe.
All right. Well, thank you, Kellen Patterson, attorney at law, for joining us tonight on The Scoop.
All right, we appreciate
you. Thank you. Until next time.
All right.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right. That was Mr. Kellen Patterson, attorney at law, with some good legal advice for us. So if you guys have any legal questions, that is the man to contact. He is very kind, very patient, and he'll definitely help you through and walk you through your questions and your concerns. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the scoop news and all the juiciness. This is Tiana Taylor and Pusha T with Maybe.
Damn. Had to pause, nigga. Wait a minute.
Love that song. You are tuned into The Scoop here on MorrisMediaLive.com. I'm your host, Ashley Marie. That was Tiana Taylor with Maybe. Love, love, love that song. Such a fun one. We are going to get right into Scoop News. Some fun, juicy stories for you guys tonight. The late, great Muhammad Ali's grandson is actually making waves. He's actually going to be able to get paid for his good looks and play college football at the same time. This is because he has just recently signed to become a model with Wilhelmina, modeling agency. They're one of the top agencies in the world, actually. So he just got a really big opportunity with them. The 17-year-old's name is Biagio Ali Walsh, and he's one of the top high school running backs in the country as well. And he's been offered several scholarships to top universities. So he's doing it big. There's a trick to him doing all of this. What I mean by all of this is having a college football career and being a model. The NCAA has some rules against college players using their notoriety from college sports for profit. So since Biagio began his modeling career before college, there is no conflict with the NCAA. So he kind of skated by on that. According to the NCAA, the player must have started his career prior to enrolling in college. His athletic ability is not considered a factor in him being hired as a model. So those two things cannot be conflicted. Biagio definitely found a loophole in the system, and he is working it out to his advantage. So shout out to him. Actually, Snoop's son, Cordell Brodus, he recently just signed a big deal with Wilhelmina as well. And he's a football player over at UCLA. So he's doing it big, too. So shout out to both of these young men using their talents and doing something positive with their lives. You got to love that. Cannot be mad at that. And I'm sure we've all heard this really, 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 really sad story about actor Anton Yelstin. You've seen him in Star Trek. He just recently tragically died in what's being called a freak accident. His Jeep Cherokee rolled backwards and pinned him against a metal gate at his home. The actor was reportedly leaving his home and got out of his car for an unknown reason at this point when the 5,000-pound Jeep rolled back on him. He reportedly died within a minute of the Jeep pinning him down. Yelchin was supposed to show up for rehearsals with his friends at 11 p.m. on Saturday night. His friends got worried when he never showed up, so they decided to go check on him around 1 a.m.-ish on Sunday morning, and that's when they unfortunately discovered his body. Now, the actor did have security cameras at the gate of his home. So authorities are checking now to see if the incident was actually caught on camera. Such a sad, sad, sad story, to hear that happening. And what's interesting is those Jeeps were actually a part of a recent recall. So hopefully they really get on the ball and figure out what is going on with these cars. And our last story in Scoop News is Iggy Azalea and Nick Young. If you haven't already heard the news, they have definitely split. This is after Iggy just announced that the couple was not able to restore the trust in their relationship and get back on track. This is after Nick was basically outed for cheating. One of his teammates outed him. Iggy decided to stick around, but unfortunately, they were not able to work things out. Now, stories are circulating that Iggy kicked Nick out of the house, but she had to set the record straight via Twitter. She said on Twitter that the home belongs to Nick and that she's actually the one moving. So she wanted to clear that up. There's some items in their driveway, and people kind of speculated, like, oh, these must be Nick's, but she cleared it up. Those are my items. I'm moving out of Nick's home. So it's kind of sad that they weren't able to make things work. I like them as a couple. But I do wish them both all the luck in the world. And that about does it tonight for Scoop News. If you have any juicy stories to share with me, feel free to hit me up at thescooponair@gmail.com. I will definitely take a look at your stories and see if they make it onto Scoop News. And we are running short on time, but before we go, I have the funniest little video for our social media buzz segment. This young lady is a star in the making. I say this because her confidence is on level 10. And her brother definitely hated on her. Some of you guys may have seen this video circulating on social media, but it is hilarious. And I definitely wanted to share it with you guys. So check out our social media buzz for the night. I cannot handle that little one. The brother was not having it. He said, you know, you sound horrible. And she said, you just killed my dream. And she gave him the death stare. And it was the most adorable video I think I've ever seen. But anywho, that does it for tonight on The Scoop. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Big shout out to Mr. Stefan LeBrosier, author, lifestyle and love coach. We definitely appreciate you stopping by The Scoop. Big shout out to our financial guru, Mr. Johannes Harrison, and to our resident attorney, Mr. Kellen Patterson, calling us all the way from Sacramento. We appreciate your tips that you share tonight. You guys, like I just said, you can hit me up at thescooponair@gmail.com. Let me know if you have any questions, any concerns, if any ideas. If you want to join me here in studio, you are more than welcome to. Just hit me up and we can discuss it. If you are a young entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, whatever, a creative, hit me up with your project and I'll definitely see if we can squeeze you in on The Scoop. Until next week, I wish you guys all well. Ciao.